Hi, I'm Jessica St. Clair.
And I'm June Diane Raphael.
And this is
The Deep Dive.
We're about to do what women have done for centuries. We're crowding around the fire with our generous haunches. We got babies hanging off our tits, and we're going to share with you our fears.
That's right. Our joys.
Our tips on how to stay alive.
Now, Jess, we are heeding a call that no one has made.
Not a soul, but you're invited to listen.
Absolutely, because we make one promise and one promise only. We will not Google a thing.
Because frankly, we're too damn tired.
Please get ready to go on
The Deep Dive.
Hi, Jessica.
June. I'm back.
You're back and you're better than ever. I'm so happy to see you. It's been too long.
I'm so happy to see you, but I gotta tell you, I'm having post-vacation fatigue. PVD. No, PVF. That's PVF, baby.
Let me just say something about those letters real quick. I remember when everybody and their mother and their sister was getting diagnosed with HPV. And I don't mean to make light of it. I know it causes precancerous cells and all that jazz. But that was at a time, Jess, where we were just getting out of the HIV scare.
I know.
And so many of my girlfriends, I don't know how I escaped HPV. I don't either
because you were giving it out for free.
Oh my God. I'm surprised I wasn't like patient zero for HPV.
Seriously. Okay. You might have been a carrier and you didn't know.
I know. It doesn't make sense. But to see so many girlfriends who will remain nameless, but many of who you know at the age of 20 and 21 sit in their OBGYNs and be told you have HPV. So quickly, you've been tested positive for HPV. It was so close, so very close to HIV. I'm glad so many women I didn't know weren't diagnosed with HIV. Although that too is treatable and certainly not the death sentence that it once was. But I'm sorry you are dealing with PVF.
Post-vacation fatigue. Yeah.
So was it just you finally started to relax and it was time to go? Because that's hard.
Right. That's right. And then I think that my brain tricked both me and BB to feeling like we were going back to prison, which is this home and masks. I mean, we had a mask free, I hope it's okay to say that, month. And it was like being my best friend, Brandy, just said it was like being in 2018 again. Mm. And we almost forgot. And then the days that were leading up to leaving, I started to feel physically ill. I don't want to go back to that. So I've tried to chop wood and carry some water today. Mm-hmm. Literally water my bamboo plants, which were left neglected. And also in my suitcase. Now, let me ask you this, though. Is it putting it away if you just dumped all of your clothes on the floor?
Wow.
But it's in it. It's away. It's away.
It is. It's somewhere, all right. It's somewhere else.
It's in a cupboard, but okay. All the clothes are on the floor. And how long will they stay there?
We, deep divers, we're going to bring out our very special guest in one second, but I have a real kind of shame report to share.
What?
About my suitcase.
Oh, no. Wait. You went away so long ago.
I went to New York to visit and surprise one of my best girlfriends. And she didn't know I was coming. She was meeting our other girlfriend.
I didn't know that. Her. Oh, this was this that was, weekend.
This
oh,
was
my
the
God.
Last
oh my God.
Minute,
oh my God. Oh my God.
Like soiree. And it was everything. And I planned, I got into the city. I went right to Tribeca. We met at a restaurant. Oh. And I knew they were coming. And I sat at a table waiting for them. I'll show you the video. And my girlfriends walked in and boy, was she surprised. It was just spectacular. It was really quite wonderful.
And why? Last minute, no expectations, just show up and whatever happens is a gift. That's what you did.
Yeah, I did.
Great. Love it.
And it's interesting. I don't know. I'm really in a financial shift too of these are the things I want to be spending money on. Now, do I have a retirement fund? I don't know.
I don't know. And I don't care. Tell you that. That information lies with the man you sent a bunch of dildos to by accident.
I know.
And we don't want to contact him again.
I can't ever speak to him again. So too much shame there. That's how, honestly, sometimes I feel like when I go to New York, my 20s were such a disaster. I'm like, oh, and we're going to get into that with our guests, but like, can't go to that restaurant, can never go there again. Like, so many things burned to the fucking ground.
And I'm going to tell you this, just one little detail about my friend Brandy, who, this was crazy. So she was dating lots of people while I was with Dan the whole time.
Yes.
But I mean, don't think I didn't burn it down on every corner with Dan. The 20s was a tumultuous time. But Brandy, I remember we were at a new Greek restaurant and I said, oh, this place is great. Where'd you hear about it? She's like, oh, that guy that just dumped me. And I said, what do you mean? She goes, this was our place. And I said, but why are we here? And she goes, no, I make a point of reclaiming every restaurant and place right after I break up with somebody, because I'm not going to miss out on a good tzatziki simply because this guy couldn't fucking commit.
Take back the night.
Yes.
So that's the night. Wow.
For any of you out there, reclaim.
I love that. And I haven't been to Veselka on Second Avenue or First. I don't know if it's still there.
But Veselka was the scene of a lot of things.
But
like halfway through a milkshake, you're just like, you know what? You know what? I'm gonna unleash my unmedicated self on you.
Yes, unmedicated. Have I ever been to therapy? No, but I'm gonna tell you what's wrong with you.
What's wrong with you?
So, all right, just one quick thing about my suitcase shame, and then we're going to bring out our guest, Jess. So I went away for 2 days, a quick trip. I took the smallest away, makes a tiny, love to have them on as a sponsor.
Would love to have a free one.
Love to get Jessica one, a tiny like mini suitcase.
Oh, that's great.
And I was like, I'm going to bring a mini. I'm carrying on. I am not checking shit.
Yeah.
And I'm going to bring like, I'm there for 2 nights. I'm going to bring like 2 like hoe outfits.
Yeah, a couple camisoles, a couple lacy boots, ICUs.
Yes, and some heels and call it a night.
See who you can get looking at you.
Exactly.
You know, thinking you're probably hot off the divorce market looking for somebody to bring you to the Hamptons.
That's right. So I bring it to New York. I come back. Now, I left early in the morning. I come back at around noon and I did have a big bag with me, like sort of the bag you put under the seat.
And you were pushing in those limits.
I know. And it had my computer, a couple of other sundries. And then I got home and I thought, I'll bring my big bag in. The suitcase, I'm going to leave in the car. And Jessica?
It's still there.
It's still there.
With the sense of Manhattan, just the like.
And it's so interesting because it's like, I've said this before to our deep divers, like usually, I mean, I feel like I've grown so much through this podcast,
me too.
The messages, the feedback, I really do feel like I'm changing, but in some ways I'm like, when it comes to this suitcase, I'm regressing. Like it's actually getting further,
it's getting worse.
Further away
from where it needs to be.
Like now I'm like, will I go away and then just leave it at the destination and not.
I thought you were saying you left it on the airplane, which I've also done.
Oh, I've done that
left
too.
Left it on the airplane, like walked out fancy free, like got to my destination and gone, oh my God, it's on its way to Orlando. What am I going to do? Buy new clothes.
Which sounds like fun.
Does sound like fun.
You know, so
I'm really excited for the Sex and the City reboot, by the way. I'm really excited for that. But I want thoughts from Matt on this.
Okay. So deep divers, I asked him to put a little special bio in the chat. I can see that he has not.
He's too humble.
Yeah, he really is. So you know him from so very many things. So many of our deep divers are also Bitch Sesh listeners and know him as a very special Bitch Sesh guest. He is a writer. He's a performer. You know him from his podcast, Homophilia. You know him as a Jennifer Aniston Staniston. He has been one of my very best friends since the ripe age of 18 years old. Oh, and I am so happy that he's taking a deep dive with us. Please welcome Mr. Matt McConkey.
Oh, my God. Hello. Hello. Hello, deep divers. What an honor.
It I'm so glad you're with us, Matt. This is really special.
It was really fun to listen in on the intro. I do have to say, by the way, just because I got a glimpse of Jess's suitcase, to give people a sense, there were clothes strewn just across the floor into the hallway. And then there's a laundry hamper just right
just
there.
Just right there. Turn the camera around again, Jess. I need another view. Thanks, look, Matt. Yeah. I blew past that.
It's so close. Oh, it's right close.
There.
So
and it
far.
Actually looks like
I'm taking a screen grab.
It's so close and yet so far. I'm really...
Like, it looks like you angrily dumped it out while you
I
were
know,
on
like
go.
A stream. Like somebody was chasing me and I just like had to get away, but I had to empty the suitcase first. I know. I'm really... Listen, I actually think Deep Dive is changing me for the better. And the fact I emptied it out... Now, I had a choice. Did I want to work out or empty that suitcase? And you know I don't want to work out, so I emptied the suitcase. So I don't know if it's like out of the goodness of my heart I did it, but...
And Matt, where do you fall? I see you as someone who's arriving and emptying out their suitcase right away.
Immediately.
Do you use the drawers in the hotel?
I use the drawers in the hotel. Even if I'm only there for a couple nights, I come home, I'm unpacked before I've even like said hello to the dog. Michael is like, can you put it down? Can you live a little bit? But I'm like, I can't. I need this off my plate.
Wow. You and Paul Scheer are so much better suited than June and Paul in so many ways.
Do you know, Matt, that Paul also, like, when we're away, even if it's just for, like, two nights or three nights, like, does a load of laundry?
That's crazy.
When you're away, where? He does it, at the hotel?
Correct.
He sends things out to get done?
No, not just sends things out, but, like, or mainly when we're staying at someone's house or, like, at an Airbnb, he almost upon arrival is like, do you need to take off that shirt? Because I'm about to start a load. I'm like, we just...
Wow.
God, he's never doing loads.
Is he going to then use that load? Like, is that stuff getting reworn during the trip so he can pack lighter?
I do think, unlike me, he's a much more strategic packer, where he's like, I'm going to pack a few things. You know, I pack like an insane person, you know, and it's a really chaotic process. And then when I get there, I overpack too. But I want those options, you know, so he's packing very lightly.
It's like you overpack and yet you only wear the same jean shorts over and over again. That's what I do. I'm like, I have all the options in the world and yet I'll wear this. I wore the same outfit for 25 days.
See,
like my mother was so horrified. She was like, again with this? Again with these cutoffs? Again?
I'm about to go see my mother in Ohio. And the thing that is stressful about packing for that is that I am a skincare psychotic. And, we can get into the play-by-play of the routine. But my mother, it's a very touchy subject because my mother was in a multi-level marketing cult. It was called Beauty Control, RIP. It was an Avon Mary Kay competitor. Yes. And, it was my entire childhood, my mom pushing Beauty Control on people, moms of all my friends. It was just so stressful. It was like, I remember being in line with her at the grocery store and she'd be eyeing the cashier and she'd be sizing her up. And I'm like, oh, don't do it. Here she goes. And she, the one that's burned into my memory is she looks at this cashier. They haven't even been chatting. And she just goes, how long have you been growing out your roots? Nope. The cashier was like, oh, it's just been a while. I don't know what happened. Like that was... I think it was like a technique they taught him to like insult them a little bit, but then let them know you can help them.
Oh God.
With their, and it also the fact that it was called Beauty Control is just so haunting. Why would you
gotta control it? Beauty. It reminds me of Teresa Caputo, the Long Island medium, when she's online at like the deli counter and she starts to get a reading. She like starts to put her lips together and like her kids are like, here we go again. And then she says like, your grandfather's here, you know, or whatever.
And her energy, the Long Island medium's energy is like, she's kind of irritated by it.
Yeah.
You know? She's like, I want to relax, but I got these freaking people in my ear. Like, do you want to talk to your dad? Or can I go on with my life? Like,
can I get my shaved turkey?
Yeah.
Shave it real thin.
I'm trying to put my list together.
Matt, you're going back. And what's the stress?
So I was sent a lifetime supply of beauty control while it was still up and running. And it has gone down, thank God, maybe like 5 years ago. And I've slowly started to just throw everything away because I wasn't using it anyway.
Again, and if so you got that brown sugar lotion, you know I'm here.
Yeah. I'll come back with some brown sugar for you, Jen.
I'd be interested in that. Even if it's expired, I actually don't care.
I never look at expiration dates.
Yeah.
It's got to be expired by now. But it's just a touchy subject because she doesn't, it's like a don't ask, don't tell situation where it's like, I don't want to open that DOP kit and have her see all the stuff I'm using on. Where she's kind of like, oh, I could have given you something, I could have given you that and that and that and that, and it would have been free and it would have been better. But would it?
But here's the thing, Matt. I'm going to push back on you for a second because I know you just presented and really started your own introduction as somebody who really deeply cares about your skin. But I was thinking today before we got on, I was like, you know, because I put my moisturizer on, I did my things, and I remembered, like right now, I'm dealing with damage that was caused during my time with you, Matt. My time with you. Yes, Jessica. When we were 18, 19, 20 years old, we spent summers at the beach, Jones Beach.
Jones Beach.
Yes.
You fry hotter there.
You definitely
do. It has burned off the UV layer. Whatever's protecting you, it doesn't exist at Jones Beach.
We would get so tan to a degree that was so horrible. And we would say to each other, like, I would say to Matt, like, I'm sorry, I don't want to hurt your feelings. Like, you look better tan.
Oh, it's true. And honestly, it's true. And I still feel that, but I've had to let it go because I'm the same. Like the layers that I've had to burn off and regenerate after what I have a photo that is terrifying to look at where we're in your nook at home in Rockville Center.
I know exactly what it is.
And it's you, me, and Nancy Caruana. And I'm wearing a red hoodie of your dad's that you had given me. And I still have it. And my face and the hoodie, there's no difference. And it's bright red. And you can see in my eyes that I'm proud. I'm like, yeah, baby.
Yeah, because it's going to fade. Because you know it's going to fade into something like a toasted walnut color, like a beautiful pecan.
And I do feel like I wouldn't have gone so far had it not been for you, Matt. And, you know, because I remember you saying to me, because I said at one point, like, we might regret this. Like, we might look back on this time with regret. And you said, well, like, if we look back on it fondly, we're going to be thinking about ourselves younger, like, not hot. So do we want that? And I was like, that's a good point.
Did you feel like you guys, really capitalized on your youth in terms of your hotness? Like when you met each other, and I want to know the first time you guys met and how you knew, like, when did you first fall in love?
Well, okay. So we didn't, when we met each other, first of all, Matt was a straight man.
What?
Fooling no one.
So what? There was that.
Okay. Just for a semester.
Yes, and like mid, I hope you're okay with me saying this, Matt, but like mid, like jaw surgery, you know,
and pre-jaw surgery, I had came to New York, came to acting school at NYU with a face full of braces that I had just gotten on my senior year of high school.
Oh, God.
And gave me a terrible lisp, and I had to, I eventually knew I would have to have jaw surgery as part of the braces thing, but that wasn't until senior year of college. So most of college, that's the look that I was working with while trying to train as an actor and trying to convince myself I could be like a leading man. Also, horrific acne. That's part of the reason I loved sunning so much is there was a sense of like, I'll just burn it off.
Absolutely.
I
mean, I certainly wasn't. I mean, those were tougher years for us. Now, here's the thing, at least that I remember, like I look back on pictures and I'm like, it's tough.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I did feel like I looked good, you know, and I think categorically I didn't. But
you felt hot.
Yes.
You felt, even though I had Hugh Grant's haircut, I felt it was fresh and like, you know, shower and go. I wasn't having any trouble putting it out there, you know, and seeing who would take it.
And that's half the battle. That's a good 2/3 of the battle.
Yeah. So now Matt and I met through a mutual friend who we won't go into detail there, but this mutual friend, we were a real threesome, and then she kind of fell away. And that was a really like traumatizing event.
This wasn't the roommate that was pretending to be you.
No, Matt, you know who that was.
Who was writing in their journal about being you.
I forgot about
this. Wearing your clothes. That was crazy.
Wow. I had a roommate.
You just dislodged a memory.
Would have episodes. And during those episodes, she would go into our shared closet and take out my clothes and wear them. It was very
she writing in a journal like, "Dear June, I'm June," or like
writing to you and as you?
I don't remember that, but I don't like that, and it sounds familiar.
But there you go. That I think proves that you were hotter than you thought you were.
I do think I wanted to be. I do think I was, and you know, I think that Matt and I were both honestly in a somewhat abusive relationship with this other person. Wouldn't you say, Matt? We were being beauty controlled, and
big
time. And wasn't until we could kind of, and we did have some really good times together too, and she was a hoot and a holler for so many reasons, but it wasn't until we kind of both could break free that we were able to really become friends ourselves.
You went clear.
We did.
And it really was like we were in a cult, and I remember like coming back from summer break and having a drink, just the two of us, and like kind of like plotting.
I remember where we were.
How are we going to do this, the two of us? Yeah. And interestingly,
it was intense.
Casey had also done a stint with this person. And it was like we all sort of found each other. Like, I don't know, ex-members of Scientology?
Yes, or beauty control. Yes.
Yeah.
So that was sort of how it happened. And then, we were fast friends from then on. It's crazy to think about, Matt. It's really crazy. It's really wild to think about. But I do blame you for a lot of my skincare issues. Anyway.
Did either of you have significant others in college that you had to like welcome into each other's lives?
I had that, Matt. I had that boyfriend. Do you know who I'm talking about? I don't want to name names. And Matt had, so Matt had a boyfriend too, and then he moved out to LA to be with that boyfriend.
Oh.
And that was a really big deal. And that was sort of like I feel like that move impacted the rest of us and brought a lot of us out to LA, to be quite honest.
So he went before. You were a pioneer?
Yes, he was.
I was the pioneer woman in that sense. I finished a semester early and came to LA immediately. So I had to go back to New York for our college graduation, on my LA high horse. But June didn't have a boyfriend until I had moved to LA, so I would come to visit and get glimpses of this person, but it was just like, it was so strange to see my friend in this whole new light.
I'd say more
of our dynamic in college was like us kind of like pining after, there was a lot of unrequited situations.
Yes, we didn't, for me, college was still kind of a laboratory. Like I don't feel like I could really like hit my stride as a single woman in the world until post-college.
Got it.
You know?
And did you guys feel like you like, but what I'm interested in a male-female relationship, is like, did you feel like you completed each other in the way this is such a cliche, but in the will and grace of it all, did you feel like you guys had that energy with each other?
Yes. I will say, I do think there's something that happens. And I don't know if you feel that, Matt, but I have found since that there are a lot of straight women who want to like obtain and have gay male friends and sort of accessorize their lives with gay male friends, which I think is really like dehumanizing. But I also think that there, I have had that feeling with other women in our lives, no one close, but other women in our lives who have tried to sort of get Matt, where I'm like,
yeah, get to him. I would have if anybody would let us get close enough.
But I'm also like, he's not for sale.
I know, and so that's clear.
Yeah, and as much as I'm like, I mean, Matt, you speak to that, though. I definitely think that's a thing.
I always felt that. I think that we felt and feel like it was like our friendship rose above those
tropes,
sort of tropes and dynamics. And even though I am happy to be someone's accessory, happy to be anywhere anybody wants me, but I never...
Yeah, you don't seem to mind that identity at all.
No, like if I'm happy to embrace it.
Like if an older, like Beverly Hills woman, and I'm talking a woman in her like 60s, maybe early 70s, had a lot of money and wanted to kind of take you on and like bring you to Paris for the weekend or like the Côte d'Azur, like you would gladly go. Is that what you're saying?
I've essentially had that. I was a personal assistant all through my 20s to various celebs and grand dames.
I will also add, one of the layers of our relationship, Matt, happened at a little restaurant called Rodizio, which was a Brazilian steakhouse that I started working at, I think, when we were maybe sophomores or juniors. It's all a blur. But basically, our job as waiters was to go around with giant like skewers of meat and carve meat to people's plates. Both Matt and I were vegetarians. Yeah, but I got Matt a job. And so I was also, and I do feel like this in some areas has been our dynamic or was a dynamic in college. Like I feel like I was already kind of in the world as a
laborer.
Yeah. Laborer, you know, getting that like street knowledge.
Yeah.
Well, not everybody, but a lot of our friends were still under the comfort of like mommy and daddy paying for meal plans. And,
right.
You know, and I was like, I got to make some cash money. Yeah. And so Matt, I trained Matt as a waiter.
A big time. And she, this will surprise no one that June's entire methodology, her approach to waiting tables. I had waited tables in Ohio where the approach is like, hey, I'm your best friend. I'm your fun friend here to chat and get to know everybody's name and see what you want and come and do bits with everybody. And June was like, no. We're not here to be anyone's friend.
No, we're not.
We're not here to like, quote unquote, give them what they want. They're in our house. We're here to let them know, here's how we do things here.
What?
Here's what I'm going to suggest for this table. And that's that, you know, so it was essentially like showing up at a table, and it was often like there was a real bridge and tunnel vibe to this place. Sure. So that we'd have tables
this
of like
giant
20.
Bachelor parties. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. And you needed to like control it. You needed to control it or they would control you.
Yeah.
Exactly. And so she would just kind of show up and be like, so there's 20 of you. So what we're going to do is endless pitchers of, Caipirinha. And which was the Brazilian margarita, and we'll do, you know, skewers for the table.
The price fixed menu.
And they'd be like, great.
Price fixed menu.
Price
fixed
menu.
People like to be told what
they
to do,
like
especially by you.
So I do feel like there was a sense of like, I'm going to teach Matt how to be a woman and how to survive as a woman in the world. You know,
there's a lot of layers
so
to
much.
Unpack.
And I took that with me.
You did. And here's the thing I'll say about to any of our deep divers who are waiters and waitresses and work in the service industry. I don't believe in service with a smile. I don't
think it's necessary.
I don't.
My best friend from back home, Mirari, who June knows, gets very upset with, she considers my behavior in a restaurant as a customer rude because I'm still informed by what June said. Because I'm perfectly polite. I'm just simply not there to do bits. And I consider that a sign of respect. It's like, they don't want to be my friend. I don't want to ask that of them. I want to just let them do their job.
And we also have a system, the tipped wage system, which is so fucked up. And that's starting to change in places like California and New York. And that's wonderful, where waiters and waitresses are making, you know, actual wages and are not relying on tips. But when we were coming up, Matt, it was like, I really had a problem with that. This idea that I had to hope that I would get paid for the work I was doing. So to me, when I'm at a table, the energy I give off as a customer is very pleasant, and very kind. And I'm willing to match someone's energy based on what they're giving me. I really am.
Yeah.
But I'm also like, this system is very hard to work within. And I'm not going to make you feel like you have to do a dance or give me a certain energy to get paid for your labor.
Or don't ask me what you enjoy eating, because we couldn't be more different. You know what's good here? I mean, okay. Yes.
And a lot of people, and this was how I felt as a waitress, is that most people are showing up. And like you said, Jessica, they feel lost. And that interaction between, like, they already feel like, I don't really know what I'm supposed to be doing here.
Yes.
And I might not know what all the words mean on the menu. And they really do want someone to come in with confidence.
Like a sommelier. How do you say it? Am I saying it right? Yes. Like, you want to know, let me guide me through this flight of wines. Even if you're at, you know, a cheesecake factory, just tell me how many apps to order. You know what I mean? And then let's get on with our day. But I don't want to spend too much time on the apps of it all, because I want to know about Matt now, because you are in such a, and again, people have kept us so apart. They have obviously not wanted us to get together, because I don't know what, if our powers would, you know, obviously
we might throw them aside like June and I did to our other friend.
To the other friend, which sounds like you had to. But tell us about now. You have this wonderful fiance. You're getting married. Tell us everything.
We're getting married. I mean, I don't know. I feel like in the last few years of my life, I have become a proper adult. And again, it was like June moved to LA after me. We had our messy years together, but she very quickly became an adult. And I was again sort of like, but got her shit together just faster than I could. And so there was, even though we're the exact same age, we have the same birthday. There has been a bit of a little brother feeling of kind of like, that's how you do it. And then I try to do it. And so I feel like I'm just starting to get there, because early 20s, when I moved here, early 30s, to be honest, I was honestly a drunken slut. That was what I was up to. And I had this whole secret life that most of my closest friends, I compartmentalized, like they didn't even see it. I was just really... Yeah.
There were some West Hollywood like nights that
you would go out. What was fueling it? Was it just like, you know what? I'm young. All these people are so good looking. Everyone's bringing their best. And so you're just like, I'm going to have fun until I don't have to have, you know, it's not the time to have fun.
I think part of it was always just like, maybe I'll meet someone who will save me from myself. But I think it was also, and not that I was such hot shit in my 20s, but I was catching up for that brace face severe acne period that I was telling you about.
You're such a handsome man. You're arrestingly, arrestingly good looking. And no, it's true. Like, I feel very attracted to you. And again, people have kept me from you, and I can't get close enough to touch you, but like, I want to. You're very, you know, so I get it why everyone was coming for a place at that table in your 20s for sure. But I think that's a really fascinating thing to spend, you know, a good portion of your life not feeling like you have the attention of people. And then all of a sudden, my little brother was this way. He was so tall and, you know, everything was kind of out of proportion. And then all of a sudden he looked like JFK Jr. And it was like, it was a complete shift.
Every Halloween, Matt is Clark Kent and Superman. Like he's the transition. But by the way, I always found Clark Kent to be sexier.
Oh yeah. I'd fuck Clark Kent. Right. Every day of the week. Superman.
You'd be the man that you want to marry. You know, that was, I think, the approach of that Halloween costume.
Well, we are, I can't tell you how, Jessica, these nuptials and this wedding is just really, It's just really bringing us out of the dark. And it's something we've all been waiting for. And I'm just so excited. And I'm trying to, I hope you know, Matt, because I know I've interjected and spoken my mind about a few things wedding related. I just want you to know that there's a lot I'm not doing.
You're so holding
there's
back.
More?
There's a lot that
you're
I'm
doing
holding
a
back.
Lot already, June. Can I get a peek into what you're not doing?
Well, what I said to Matt, and I don't think this is unreasonable, is I just wanted a way at the wedding. Mm-hmm. And I know he's not having a bridal party. That's fine. But I need and desire a way to stand out from the civilians and
To feel seen as
I just don't
closest.
Want to be seen as a regular guest.
Yeah.
No. I don't
how
think
are
anybody
you going to address
you
that?
One.
Express that. But
how are you going to address that, Matt?
Well, I have the wedding is until for another. It's not until mid-May, and I have already sort of plotted out the entire ceremony, mostly with that in mind. Sort of priority number one. Let's make sure that June gets hers, and all the other things will fall into place.
Yeah. And by the way, I know that I'll carry myself in a manner that says to everyone, like, I'm not a part of a bridal party because there is none, but I'm not like you.
No, of course not. Almost like you're co-hosting. It's like you're not hosting this wedding, but you're also not hosting.
Yes, just because I feel like some of these weddings, it's like, okay, Matt's mom is going to have a special thing, you know, like we're all going to know. Yeah. But some of us, there's others that need to be known.
Well, what do you want to do? Sing like Bette Midler's The Rose? Like a solo? I mean, I don't know if, you know, you're...
Again, I am willing to take it on myself and just know that I need to... that's on me to sort of carry myself in a manner that I'm given the respect that I deserve. But it is something that's weighing on me. And I also know, you know, I'm curious, Jessica, where you fall with this wedding etiquette. Mm-hmm. Do you think it's appropriate to invite people to an engagement party who are not being invited to the actual wedding?
Oh, it's so hard.
Your face.
So hard.
I'm really hoping she answers because a little too late.
I think it is okay.
I do too.
Did you do that?
Yes.
Yes. And I think the plan is that we are going to have a small wedding. And so I think the plan is, and this is another area where June can really shine, is to let the people at the engagement party know pretty much like this is it. You know,
this is the party, a
sort of gentle way of letting them know you probably won't be invited.
Yeah,
so it's such an enjoy it while affair. You can.
Exactly. And here's what I'll say too about weddings. And I remember in the Lindsay episode, we talked about regrets. I have a tremendous amount of regrets about how my wedding went down. And
really?
So does Dan.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. Because it was an enormous, enormous wedding. I have 14, my mother has 14 brothers and sisters. My dad has 6. God. And it was crazy. And it was a circus. And so I think we had 250 people there. Oh, it was outrageous. Wow. Yes. And I will tell you that the intimacy of that moment got really lost. And I want to do it again. And if I were to do it again, and I hope to, and I hope Rebecca, does the plans it will have her on as well, of course, to talk. But I want to go to Southern France and I want to have like my 10 closest friends be with me for a magical weekend soaking in the sun, you know, with, of course, the proper SPF. But I think don't let go of that beautiful, intimate moment. And that's how you're going to do it. That's the fix. Is have a huge party. I wanted to celebrate with all my relatives, but I didn't want that to be the day that day that I did. And I didn't want to say all those private things in front of all of these people. I didn't, as much as I am a, you know, someone who's comfortable in a crowd. I didn't want that. I felt
the upside must be that there weren't a lot of people that you had to have the awkward conversation with to let them know they weren't invited. I'm assuming
you'd be surprised because out of that 250, like 200 of those people were my relatives.
Right. Yeah. So in a way, it was a small wedding.
And I will say too, because I had such a big wedding, I felt bad about who didn't get invited. I still regret some people that didn't get invited. Yeah, because
you didn't have the excuse of like, it's super small. It's like, no,
right.
You just, it was so, actually yes, quite large and you didn't make the cut.
I love the idea. Again, do whatever you want. But I have noticed my couple of my millennial nannies are doing the same thing. Have a gigantic fun party in LA for all of your friends. Rent a loft and go nuts. And then do your own private thing that you feel it fits you and fits your partner. And like, have that be special, right? Have that be special.
I mean, I look back on you both were at my wedding, but I look back on the ceremony with as truly one of the happiest days of my life.
Yeah. And you could feel that.
I really do. And
outdoors.
It was outdoors and it was just, I just loved it so much. And I do think there are very few moments in life where you walk into an experience one way, you share, you listen, and then you walk out and you're different. And I truly did feel like something happened. Now, Paul and I also, when we walked out, went to a private space and shared a private vow with each other.
Wow. Oh, that's so good.
Now, did we spend so much time in that space that we missed, you know, golden hour? And so all of our, literally every single one of our photographs of our family and group shots are in the dark.
Darkness.
You know, But I don't regret that. I really don't, actually. That's really, really wonderful. I mean, Matt, what are your hopes and dreams for the big day?
But how many people were at yours? I don't remember.
103.
That's
103.
Because also we were in that little it almost was like a high school auditorium. It felt like an auditorium. Wasn't there like a, it was like an old fashioned, what was it?
I mean, I wish you weren't describing it as an auditorium. But
but do you know what I
was,
mean?
Yes, I remember it. It was, I got married at the Santa Barbara Museum of Natural History, and it was an auditorium. Did I bring in a lighting designer? Yes, I did.
Of course.
Of course I did. But it was a museum. And, but there was an outdoor area. And honestly, it was the cheapest venue we had found at that point and my favorite.
Oh, so intimate and beautiful.
It was perfect.
Yes. I loved it so much.
Yeah. So Matt, what is the vision for you? What is the vision?
You know, the vision is, in a way, I don't even think about that because Rebecca Stone is the maestro.
Wedding planner to the stars.
She is?
Yeah. Yes.
Oh my
and
God.
So we're in the good best hands. Possible hands. And, you know, once we got the major things checked off the list, we're kind of just sitting back and letting her do what she does.
Smart.
You know, there's an idea I'm currently toying with. That I think I mentioned this to June, but I don't know if I should say this or not, but it doesn't matter. But we're in to cut down on the number of people who are just simply giving toasts, to give the people a little something to elevate certain members of the, you know, non-wedding party.
Only because there is no wedding party. If there is a wedding party, I'd like to know about it now.
Okay. We get it.
The jury's out. If there will be, you'll be the first to know. But there's an idea that we will, in lieu of a reading, there will be some scene work done.
Oh my God.
The source material being Sex and the City.
My God. And you know what's nice about you not doing everything in the timeline as all the other girls is all of the wedding seasons have passed. Now we're ready to party. And we know how to party.
We know how to party, right. We know how to fucking turn.
We know how to fucking turn it out and turn it up. And the pictures are going to be great. Everyone's at their prime.
Yes.
I mean, I at least have improved somewhat. I mean, that we've established. But
yeah.
June does have a real hunger, as people have heard on the podcast to really party right now.
Yes.
To, you know, and I'm sure that has waned as the
It's only got more intense.
But I would say the rest of us have so far been a bit of a disappointment in that area. Well,
I want to thank Matt. So when we went away for Cool App's birthday, Matt, I said over and over from the time I got there, like, let's, now this is before the Delta variant was like raging through the country, but it was when most people were getting vaccinated. We were all vaccinated. And I was like, let's go out on the town. Let's get to the people.
Yeah, you know, let's
like see what's what. And I just want to be around the good people and feeling energies and looking at each other, you know? Yeah. Let's
and you
be
got
alive
resistance.
On this rock. Oh, so much resistance.
They all want to get out of your cozies. We've been fucking cozied up like indoor cats for so long.
Thank you. And everybody was just so settled in there and was like going to bed at 11 p.m. And it was really disappointing. And I had one ally, and it was Matt McConkey, who went out with me to a bar in Palm Springs, and I really appreciated it.
You went out yourselves. What happened when you went out there?
I mean, not much, you know, but we had a couple drinks, we had some cigarettes, and
a lot of old gay men just like.
We weren't with the beautiful people, Matt.
We tried to go to the main bar on that drag. I just forgot the name, Hunter's. And every time I've gone to Hunter's in the past, I have had this, there is a certain appreciation of like, oh, for once, I might be one of the hotter people in this room.
Right,
Whereas you go to bars in West Hollywood and, you know, you're a piece of shit. But Palm Springs has changed. Everybody was in Palm Springs this weekend. We get to Hunter's. Yeah. I'm ready for us to be the bells of the ball. We literally can't. There's a line around the block to get into Hunter's. And so I was like, well, I don't want to take you to the dregs because I felt this responsibility that it's like, we're 40 years old. I've been a bar, you know, slut for most of my adulthood. And I've never really taken June to like a gay bar properly. Yeah. And sort
and
of
that's on done, you.
And that is 100% on me. And so we stand outside of Hunter's and well, we know we're not going to wait in this line. And I'm just like, June, take your mask off. And we'll just stand here and we're surrounded by gay men. Like it will be.
Wow, take your mask off and let's see what happens.
Begin the transformation. Yeah. And I'll tell you, nothing happened. So nothing happened. So it was like, it was Sally. What is it? Sally Field and Soapbox? Who is it?
Yeah.
And, you know, unfortunately, no one recognized me from my body of work. And that was hard.
That's disappointing. And you ended up where?
Across the street. Off Broadway.
Yeah. You know, no line at that place.
There was, but I didn't, I felt also, it's interesting. I felt unflappable. So it was a hit for sure. You know, Matt was pushing me to the front of the line and I was just waiting there to like make eye contact with someone who might recognize me. And I think I was even saying like, I got to shoot on Monday, Matt. Like I gotta get home early. Like I have to get back to LA to go to Paramount, you know, but nothing.
So did all of they. They all had to go too. They were just working like where the big money is, you know, in production.
Yeah.
But you know, after we went to the other bar, when we were waiting for our lift, we had a couple of real nice recognitions.
We did.
That's nice.
It didn't get us anything.
No,
you know, but it was nice.
Still, it was a nice.
It was very nice. I forgot about that. Well, I cannot wait for this wedding, Matt. It really is. It's really going to be the party of the year, and it's giving a lot of us. I'm actually glad it's scheduled for when it's scheduled because it's giving us a real hope and optimism for the future.
Yeah, like planning the vacation is sometimes better than the actual vacation. Yes. Hopefully in this case, it will be both. But yeah.
And it's far enough in the future that we can have some more rises and falls with this Delta.
Yeah. And, you know, I'm not worried about that at all. I think we're going to be in great shape by the time your wedding comes around. I just can't
we're
wait.
All still
and
standing.
It really is. I have to say, it's really... And not that I don't feel this way about, I guess I've had this feeling many times actually, but when a dear friend finds the perfect partner, it's, I don't know how to say it. It's just so overwhelming. It's just so overwhelming. And it's just so comforting. I feel so comforted by Michael's presence in your life and mine. Like, oh, we're going to be okay. We did good. We did really good. We did, Matt. We did real good.
Oh, we did. I mean, he moved here from Canada and I swept in and I was like, I'm going to just bamboozle and disorient him before he can get look around and see what's what. And before he realizes how much better he can do. And I snagged him.
And you did. Know? And you did. Now, we used to do a bit, and I don't know if it's, Matt, I don't know if it's for public consumption, to be quite honest. So we may cut this out. But Jessica, we used to do, now Matt has never done like a drag, but he has been able to channel a version of my mother that is...
I would love to hear it because I never got to meet your mom. It's,
please know that also the version we do of my mom, we do one version, which is like my mom picking up the phone.
Okay.
Okay.
I forgot about that.
Okay.
This.
Okay.
There was that. Well, she was... Diane Raphael was and is a queen.
Yes.
Right.
You know,
icon.
When I think about June as someone who is both of you as people who are beloved by the gay community, I'm like, man, oh man, if they could have gotten their eyes on Diane Raphael.
So we
just
yes, big queen energy. And she used to pick up the phone when talking to Matt. There was a lot of screaming for me, like, John, get June. And she would scream right into the receiver. So you had to be ready for that. And then after that bellowing up the stairs, she would then turn and say, Matt, have a Mary.
oh my God, I love it.
And so then this transformed into her also screaming. Again, this never happened, but
no.
Matt would do a version of my mom where he would scream, John. Matt's on the phone. Matt the queer. And we would just die laughing. I mean, this is also someone who would answer the phone on Easter morning with, he is risen.
That's right.
You know, he is risen. He is
Well,
risen.
You know, can I say this, though? I think one of the most special things about old friends is that they hold memories of the people that you loved, of you, of old versions of you that you may have forgotten, you know, and people like your parents that like, you just don't get that with an adult friend. No. And that's why you cannot get rid of these old friends. I mean, if you have to, of course, send them packing, but they are like, you know, in Keanu Reeves, that Keanu Reeves movie that they made me watch on How Did This Get Made, where he has like a memory chip.
I don't remember
Memento or something like that. Anyway, but like you can't, if you lose one of those friends, like that's dies with them. So many choice memories.
Yeah, we're stuck together, I think, at this point. Like it or not.
Like it or not. And at my wedding, at my rehearsal dinner, Matt did a song. I don't know if you remember this, Jessica. I don't know if you were at the rehearsal dinner. I know you were at the wedding.
I wasn't at the rehearsal.
So at the rehearsal dinner, everybody got up and did sort of a bit or a couple minute performance and was sort of a show that Owen Burke hosted. And Matt did, oh God, was it strange? He took, we used to do this thing where my mom, I got into a fight once with my mom because she was trying to tell me something about my sister who locked her keys in the car and how my father couldn't get to work in the morning. And she was so upset about it. And I guess I started laughing. My mom like lost her freaking mind. Your sister locked the keys in the car. Your father can't get to work tomorrow morning. And then I started laughing and she goes, don't you dare. So anyway, that's the source material. But Matt took those really couple of lines and turned it into a song.
Oh my
Which
God.
First half was born actually when you and Casey lived in Bay Ridge. And there was a night that we were there. And I think you had a party where we charged people at the door.
Yes.
You know, friends. Basically made our friends
pay. You come.
Yeah. You trying to cover charge. Me.
Yeah. And I was on, I think, a few substances. And at the end of the night, when as we're all sort of performing for each other as theater kids do. I've never been a great actor, but I channeled something came through me.
It was
like a cabaret song interpretation of the Don't You Dare story. And
it's fucking real.
Talk about it's like a Russian doll of a story to try. And so then I do that performance at June's wedding. I mean,
nobody knew what you were up to, but you knew, and that was
impacted actually. So I bet Miss Heidi Rose Robbins, who was at the rehearsal dinner. Do you remember Matt? She came up to Matt and was like, that was one of the most powerful pieces of theater I've ever seen. And it was.
Wow.
And it was. My dad was so moved. I mean, it was powerful.
God, I wish there were, if there was a recording, I don't want to see it because I feel like it's one of those moments that can only exist in the ether.
I've never quite seen you take on an essence. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's the only way I can describe it is like it was a channeling. It was... Yes. And it was heightened, but it was also real. It was very, very strange. It remains very, very strange.
It's a mystery to all of us, but I did feel her coming through me. And I was envisioning was like a glittering sort of Judy Garland cabaret, on the London stage sort of moment for Diane. And I was just wearing my regular whatever I was wearing to the rehearsal dinner. But I think that came, I think people felt that.
It did. You were channeling her like you would in like an old Southern church, where they start to like speak in tongues. That exactly. feels like that's what was happening.
Matt, thank you so much for coming on. I don't know. I don't know what there's so much to talk about, but we are over an hour, Jessica. I mean, no, we can keep on going, but I'm like,
I know.
We also,
I have to say, being in the presence of two best friends is one of my favorite things to do. I just, you complete each other and my cheeks hurt smiling. I've smiled from the moment I've seen you two together because it's just beautiful. Well, it's really beautiful.
It's very special to have you said it, Jessica. It's an incredibly special thing to have long relationships. Like I have Matt, I have Casey, I have our dear friend Laura Kindred, and a couple of other friends from college. That's so special. And then, I mean, when I talk about the girls that I saw this past weekend in New York, those are my best friends from sixth grade.
Yeah.
And there's five of us.
I latched onto them during all of my times coming to Long Island, and I love every single one of them. And what's interesting is that half of them are now gay,
yes.
but weren't when we all
really. Know, oh, that's college. Interesting.
Oh, yeah, but it makes all the sense in the world.
Of course,
we had so even though we were obsessed with boys. On a like physical level and sexual level, like we didn't care for them. We didn't care for straight men in terms of their other offerings.
Of course.
There's
only so much they can do.
Yes. So those who were straight among us, like myself and really only two other of those five, like we were in the right group, I guess is what I'm saying. Yeah. Like it made sense that the majority of us would turn out to be lesbians. It was only right.
Absolutely.
Jessica, you're frozen.
A shock to no one.
Jessica.
No. I thought she was just basking in this
anecdote. I know. Matt McConkey, thank you so much for joining us. This was a dream of dreams. We need to have you back on to talk Wizard of Oz.
Oh, yeah.
There's just...
Yeah, we got to tell the people about our Judy Garland experience in Ojai. That's a story for another time.
There's so much. There's so much to unpack here, but I hope you'll come back on also post-wedding so we can do a full recap if you're open to it. But
absolutely,
I, for one, cannot wait. Is there anything that you want to plug that we should check out?
I mean, check out Homophilia with me and Dave Holmes. We interview your favorite queer people every Friday. And we're with the World of Wonder Network, no longer Earwolf, but we are now at World of Wonder, the RuPaul's Drag Race home.
Makes all the sense in the world. Homophilia, yeah. At World of Wonder. Thank you, Matt. I love you. And thank I'm sorry, you. Deep love Divers, so that Jessica fell off for the last 5 minutes of this, but I don't think anyone's surprised. And it honestly was a miracle she was on for as long as she was. Have a great week. And
hopefully
we'll see you
she's
next
picking
time.
Up her clothes.
I doubt it.
Yeah.
I doubt it. The Deep Dive is produced by Jessica St. Clair, June Diane Raphael, and Earwolf. Our producer is Cody Fisher and sound engineer Jordan Duffy. You can listen to our ad-free and bonus episodes on Stitcher Premium. And for a free 1 month trial of Stitcher, use code DEEPDIVE. And remember, the best way to support this show is to rate and review. And a huge thank you to Ann Geddes for her beautiful photo that she allowed us to use for our cover art. Please head over to AnnGeddesBaby.com and download her new app, which is a safe place you can upload and store all of your precious images of your children and share them with friends and family, plus much more. We'll see you next time.